is not always how it's supposed to be. Following Jesus isn't always the way that we think it's supposed to be. But where we turn makes all the difference. To be honest with you, when following Jesus in my life has become a little difficult at moments, I don't always turn to the right place. I can't stand before you and say I've always turned to the right things when following Jesus has become hard, challenging, difficult. I'm realizing as I'm getting a little bit older, one of the places that I tend to turn once in a while, I don't want you to think I'm always not turning to the right place. But one of the things that I realize as I'm getting a little bit older, that I have the tendency when following Jesus gets challenging is to turn to myself. It's not always wrong to turn to ourselves, is it? It's not always wrong to turn inward. There's a time to look inward. But when life is getting difficult for me and my faith is getting challenging for me, looking to myself is not the right place to look. I can become such a selfish person. Call it being self-absorbed and caring only for my own things and my own life, my own business. When following Jesus gets difficult, where do you turn? Where do you go? Maybe you're like me and you have the tendency to turn inward to yourself. Sometimes we have the tendency to look to the world, don't we? When we seem to be having this void in our faith, in our life, it could be a spiritual void, right? We feel like we're spiritually empty. Life is challenging. Faith is challenging. All of these problems are occurring in my life and compounding. Where do I turn? Sometimes I turn to the world. And yet the world doesn't offer anything. Or maybe you're one of those, and you've met some before, that have the tendency to just turn away from Jesus. You don't even turn to yourself. You just flat out turn away from Jesus altogether. Where do you turn when your faith and following Jesus gets difficult? Following Jesus isn't always the way that we thought it was supposed to be. But where we turn, where we go, where we look to, makes all the difference. You know, the good news for us is that we are not alone. Isn't that something? Didn't the wise man say there's nothing new under the sun, right? We think our times are new. What's going on in our lives, in our world, in our faith is new. It's not new. Maybe packaged a little bit differently. But the problems of man are the problems of man. They've been around from the beginning. Putting ourselves in the place of God. Following after the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of men. Whatever they are. There's nothing new under the sun. The good news is that our Lord Jesus taught and dealt with and handled this very question and topic about where you turn to when following Jesus gets difficult. And he handles this with the disciples in John chapter 6. And that's where we're going to spend our time today. I think perhaps John 6, if it's not the greatest application of Jesus, it's close. One of the greatest applications that we have of Jesus and who Jesus is. Remember that the followers of Jesus have already seen many signs, wonders, and miracles. Remember John's gospel at the end, John records that this is why it's written, that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus, all of these signs have been recorded and miracles have been recorded. So you'll believe. They have witnessed these things, many things. As a matter of fact, they have witnessed the healing of the royal official's son, not something you see every day in life. How about the man who had been sick 38 years? Anybody been real sick 38 years of your life? Anybody not be able to walk? The best thing I could think about was our brother Louis. Louis isn't with us anymore, right? We know Louis was born with his condition had that condition from early on, and he had been still a wheelchair to this day and always will be. A man of 38 years sick, and Jesus looks to him and he simply commands him, get up and walk. And what did the man do? He got up and he walked. You see, these are things the disciples have witnessed. They've been around Jesus with his teachings. Those tough teachings, remember? The ones about him coming from heaven and then having to go away from them and depart from them. And in John 6 specifically, he's going to call himself the bread of heaven. And where would that take their minds? I think we know it would take their minds directly back to the Exodus when Moses told the children of Israel, or promised the children of Israel through God, that God would provide manna from heaven. Feed the people of God. And so Jesus is using this application for himself. That he is the one sent from heaven, that came from heaven to feed the world. He is the bread of heaven. Remember, they had seen at this point by John chapter 6, Jesus walking on water at night. The disciples are out in a boat, and here comes Jesus, and they think it's a ghost. It's not a ghost, it's their Lord. It's Jesus, the one they're following. Then he teaches more again. And here we get to chapter 6, the practical application of the bread of heaven. Again, I think one of the greatest application, and it's simply that Jesus claims to be the only one who could do anything for them spiritually. That's it. There is nobody else, Jesus says, who is going to give you what you need and what you want, spiritually speaking, but me. So back to our question, where do you turn when things in life and your faith get difficult? When you seem to be running on that spiritual empty. Jesus, by this point, have taught the challenging points of himself, causing some to mumble, some to grumble, some to stumble, some to just completely depart from him and withdraw from him. And so here we are, chapter 6. You get to verse 61. John chapter 6 and verse 61 through verse 64. Let's back up. Here's Jesus saying, verse 58, this is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. He has just said, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Difficult sayings. Now he says, I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the bread that have come down from heaven. Notice verse 61. But Jesus, conscious that the disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Where was he before? He's in heaven with the Father, right? What if you saw that? Would that make you stumble? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. There are many who are struggling with belief. Skip down to verse 66. Notice, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Where did they turn when following Jesus became difficult? Many just withdrew, completely turning away from Jesus. Verse 67, so Jesus said to the 12, his closest followers, the disciples, "You do not want to go away also, do you? You're going to withdraw from me too? You're going to go away because your faith is hard? Following me has become difficult?" Simon Peter answered him and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words to eternal life. We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the one set apart by God and sent to this world by God. You are the ones who have the words to eternal life. Lord, where could we go? Who could we go to get what we know we need? To be filled spiritually?" Peter realizes there's and knows there is nowhere else to turn but to Jesus. What are we looking for? Somebody says, "I'm looking for eternal life, heaven." We're looking for it, aren't we? Somebody says, "You know what I'm looking for? I just want some peace. I want a little bit of peace. I want a little bit of unity. I want a little bit of love," right? What do we want? "I want longevity of health. I want goodness," right? All the things that we say, "I want prosperity for me and my family." All the prosperity we can have. We want good lives, honorable lives. "I want freedom from worry." I'd like just a little of that. How about you? "Freedom from fear and freedom from death." There's nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. Where are you going to turn? I was thinking about the older song, one of our song books years ago, remember? "Where could I go? Where could I go?" Right? "Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me or help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord?" There's nowhere else to go. God wants Jesus to be the one that you and I turn to, church. Get this. In every season of our life. Every season of our life. What season are you in? He wants you to turn to him because he knows he's the only one that can provide it. Where am I going to go for the answers? Who am I going to go to for the answer? Who am I going to go to when my faith becomes and following Jesus becomes hard? When I'm spiritually empty? Am I going to go to man? You're not going to provide that for me. Money isn't going to provide it for me either. And you know what? Even all the medication in the world isn't going to provide it all and fix it all for us. There's only one. And that's the point of this text. Where are you going to go? Jesus is the only one to go to. The only place to turn. See, following Jesus isn't always the way we thought it was supposed to be. But where we turn makes all the difference. As I was working through this week, I was thinking about at the heart what everyone is really looking for. I don't know if I could say that I really know exactly what they're looking for. I think we have ideas of what man is looking for. But it seems to me the argument could be made that everyone is really looking for the same thing. They don't really know what it is they're looking for. The problem isn't what we're looking for, it's where we're looking for it. Not what, where. Where are we going to find that ultimate desire within all of us to have that lasting peace? I think that God has built and placed within every one of us. Again, the lasting peace, the longevity of life, the happiness and health and whatever other things you can think of, all the goodness. We're looking for the same things, but we're not looking in the same place. You see, ultimate enjoyment can only be found in God. And I would argue that everyone, I think, in their own way is looking for some kind of ultimate enjoyment. And only God is going to provide that ultimate enjoyment through Jesus Christ. You know, when you go on John's gospel and you get to chapter 14, you remember when he taught, when the disciples were troubled in heart, and he said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." And he talks about going away and then coming back again. And they say, "Well, we don't know where you're going." And what does Jesus say to him? "There you go. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now, if ultimate enjoyment is only with God, and Jesus says, "I am the way to God," the only one we need to turn to is Him. Jesus is the one we need to turn to. Oh, how simple this is, but yet, why do we turn to so many different places? I think the application couldn't get any simpler, but I know I have trouble with it at times. How do we go to Him, and what do we do to go to Him? Well, we've got to go to Him in our thoughts. Where do you go when you want to understand and learn from anything or anybody? You go to the source. We've got to think about the things of Jesus, don't we? That's how we turn to Him. We're given the written word to turn to Him in our thoughts. We turn to Him as we are this morning, as Cliff led us, in song, to fill our minds with these things. We turn to Him in prayer, don't we? Where is He right now? He's interceding at the throne, at the right hand of God, on our behalf. We go to Him in prayer. And ultimately, we go to Him in our study, in the Word of God. Following Jesus, as you know full well, isn't the way it seems. Or it isn't always the way it's supposed to be. But where you turn and where I turn makes all the difference. And so my encouragement to you, church, this morning is to turn your eyes to Jesus. Turn your life to Jesus. Cliff, you've got an invitation song, and we're going to sing that song. And if we can help you turn your eyes to Jesus in any way, maybe you just... you're down and out. You're following Jesus isn't working and you need prayers. We want to pray for you. Our leaders want to pray for you. Put their arms around you and encourage you. Maybe you haven't made the commitment to turn your life completely to Jesus. You haven't been baptized into the name of Jesus. And we encourage you to do that this morning. Whatever your needs are, would you come as we stand, as we sing the invitation song?